From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you, friends. Hello. Welcome to your Friday. Yes, TGIF. Thanking God it's Friday. So glad to have you along on this 29th day of January. It's 8:06 in the morning. And taking a look at our weather today and into the weekend, 40 degrees right here at the KSLM studios. As we move through the day, the warmest temperature will be about 46 degrees and about 50 on Saturday and Sunday. Rain expected for the next several days in our forecast. So plan accordingly. Make sure you have that rain gear or umbrella. Oh, wait a minute. We are in Oregon. We're used to that, right? We have web feet, so we just kind of go along with our day. And this time of year, we can put up with the rain when other parts of the country, yep, they're digging out. I heard in Omaha, Nebraska, man, they've had some snow in that area. And that ties in with who we're bringing on the air with us here in just a few short minutes. Our subject today is a good subject, and it's particularly of interest to me. If you've been listening for the last year to the morning show, you know how passionate I am, not only about our liberty, but about life and protecting life. Not just it, you know, it is something that I've spent a lot of my days defending and working from early on when I worked in a nursing home. When I was pregnant with my firstborn, I worked part-time in a nursing home and took care of those at the end of their life. Very passionate. Then I went back to college and I worked on my degree, and I was very interested about protecting end-of-life and defending life for our seniors and euthanasia, and this big old push in the 90s with euthanasia. But also, several of my friends who had lost children to abortion, an abortion event in their life, and how that had affected them. And if they had more information at the time they were making that decision, they would have not had an abortion. And then I end up working in the field as a director of a pregnancy help center and working on legislation and in the trenches and the front lines defending life. And it's interesting that here we are, and you fast forward 20-some years, 30 years, and here we are in 2021, and life is still the issue. And just in a matter of a few weeks, under a brand new presidential administration, many of the protections that were put in place under the most pro-life, I believe, the most pro-life president we've ever had, many of these protections have been reversed with a strike of a pen. So what do we do about this? And so I think it's timely that we bring on this gentleman who is not only a leader, a significant leader in the pro-life movement. He's also a great friend of mine, and I'm going to give you a little background. He's been on the show before, and I'd say he's a friend of this show as well. His name is Dr. Pat Castle. He is the founder of Life Runners, the largest pro-life team in the world, with over 15,500 teammates, ages under 1 to 101 in 39 nations and 2,557 cities. Pat is an inspiring and unifying force for the pro-life through faith, activism, courts, education. He received the 2020 Springtime Foundation Christian Unity Award and was part of the movie Unplanned. Pat encountered St. Padre Pio during a Pikes Peak ascent. That's an incredible story. He co-founded the Law of Life Summit, which, by the way, just took place yesterday, and a Cross America Relay. Now, Pat served on my Pregnancy Help Center board as the chairman, and he teaches advocacy at abortion facilities. He is an incredible advocate, but he's also a professional chemistry professor. He is in the Air Force, and I'm going to let him kind of talk to us a little bit more about his background. Good morning, Pat. So glad to have you a part of the show. Talk to us a little bit about your Air Force background and your training in your chemistry.
Yeah, right. Well, good morning, Stacy.
Good morning to you, too.
Are you able to hear me well enough? We're from Omaha all the way across the country.
Yeah, and I understand you got dumped on snow.
We did. It's looking like South Dakota, not Nebraska. So, and you know what that looks like.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, so no background. You and I collided while I was serving in the Air Force, my last Air Force assignment, my 10th Air Force assignment, and I was commanding the Air Force Hospital at Ellsworth Air Force Base, and I invited you to be my honorary commander so that you could go around and pray openly with all the troops on demand, which was beautiful, and I got to serve as your chairman of the board for your Praying Felt Center. So it was synergistic. God knows what he's doing. It was great holding the line with you and regaining territory with you in the Lord's name. So we really did have some great teamwork. We continue to do that. This conversation, whoever's listening in, I think that you will find something that you can relate to, whether you're a veteran or you have veteran family members, or you have a deep heart for the mission of pro-life, whether you have a deep mission for what it means to be an American, as the founding fathers intended, proud to be Americans as intended by the founding fathers, and the Declaration of Independence that leads off, you know, my goodness, life, liberty. It's the first thing that we stand for is life. So it's great that we're going to have that conversation today, Stacey, about what it means to serve the least of the least,
the
unborn baby in the womb.
One of the things I want to ask you, just technically, do you have your headset in, or are you on your phone directly? Because we're getting a little bit of feedback and beeping.
Yeah, so I've got the AirPods. Let me try the new AirPods.
Okay. So we're having a little feedback, and as he makes that little switch and see if we can get a better quality sound, one of the things that I appreciate about you, Pat, is your training, your scientific training and your background that mm-hmm. leads into the foundational part of why this is so important. And now with this new administration, I really have been talking to our listeners about, you know, don't give up, don't detach, stay
yeah.
involved, get engaged, learn how to be persuadable in a kind way with the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wondered if you'd walk us down, and we've got about 6 minutes yet before our break.
Okay.
If you walk us down on how do we encounter and how do we, and I know you do this on the sidewalks in front of the abortion clinic,
mm-hmm.
but those that are entrenched in the pro-choice thinking that they're really for the women, right? Because it's their body, their choice. How do you persuade them, and how do you use the information in a persuadable, kind way to move
yeah.
them, move the mark to life?
So if you're speaking from a ministry lens, the answer question is this would be, how do we do evangelization? If you're doing it from a psychology of influence lens, then it's really the same, and it comes down to relationship. So be a friend, make a friend, influence a friend. And we know that all those little cliches, someone doesn't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's so interesting, with 90% of communication being body language, of how much we communicate in a moment with another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that look like? Well, it needs to be attractive, for one. We need to be, as people that are pro-life and are conservative values, it needs to be attractive to the other side. So be joyful, be smiley. Don't be all sorrowful and, oh, the sky is falling. No, today, even in spite of the new administration, what's changed after January 20th, in some respects, nothing when it comes to our approach.
Mm-hmm.
Our approach is to keep moving forward, speaking the truth, taking opportunities to make things better, starting with those closest to us. But to get down to the technical part of your question, that moment is first joy and a greeting,
mm-hmm.
and then an affirmation. Find something you can affirm in a neighbor. In that moment, in a moment in a sidewalk, when a lady's driving up for an abortion appointment, I smile, I greet them. If I can get them to reach out, take my hand, that personal connection, I affirm something I see in them. Wow, great. You know, I like your jacket. I got one of those jackets for my daughter. Something to affirm our fellow human being. And then after you have that slightest bit of relationship, now it's time to ask that hard question. Are you here for an abortion? If you're talking to the culture, it might be the realization that they're not pro-life. Oh, so you're pro-choice, or they might tell you they're pro-choice. So now you have a confrontation. What do you do in that confrontation? That is where you offer help. So if it's a lady in the driveway, it's going to be help in the form of, hey, there is a place next door. You know, we don't call it a pregnancy health center, mm-hmm. which in effect it is. We use their language, which is it's a women's health clinic. Because
right.
it is a women's health clinic. Mm-hmm. People are getting healthy there.
Mm-hmm.
There is real women's services. It's more of a women's health clinic than an abortion facility. An abortion facility is not a clinic. No one is getting well there. So you let them know there's a free women's health clinic next door that can help. Oh, that's there's something that can that someone's there to help me. There's services available for me. And now what are you doing? You are selling life. You are selling something better, and you tell them about it. And then the last thing, Stacy, is we need to be bold enough to walk with that person. So if it's the person, the lady in the sidewalk, you offer to go with her. If it's the person, your neighbor or someone in the grocery store or a coworker, then you walk with them through that conversation. You revisit that conversation. So you build relationship. It's an ongoing conversation that they don't feel like, oh, they just dropped their opinion and walked away. No, I didn't drop our opinion. We dropped the truth and help, and we're still here. There's your, in a nutshell, how do we help people convert from pro-death to pro-life?
Well, and I think a lot of the challenges, and the political coffee show before mm-hmm. us this morning, one of the callers called in and said, you know, I think many people are afraid to vote for life or to stand up for life because they've had so many people in their family, coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
They feel if they stand
yeah.
strong for life, then they're somehow being hateful towards these people who have had abortions. Have
opposite.
You run across that?
I do, a lot. And what it does is it paralyzes families, neighbors, workplaces, churches. And it's paralyzed with this idea that if I speak up about this, somehow I'm hurting my neighbor that's been through this. Now, it's wrong thinking. Instead of thinking that way, we need to be thinking about we need to speak up to help our neighbor that's been through this. Keep in mind, the pain just begins with the abortion appointment.
Mm-hmm.
That pain not only is continuous, but oftentimes grows over the years. And they're waiting for someone to reach out in compassion. What does compassion mean? To suffer with.
Yes.
To be compassionate and loving, to say, hey, I can help you with your healing.
We're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to give some practical ways and some ideas in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
How we can assist these folks. I appreciate you being here with us, Pat. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, continuing the conversation when we come back. Radio KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every day, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. Want to remind you, you can send me an email at stacy@ksLM.news, and this podcast will be uploaded on our website at ksLM.news, so you can share with your friends and family. And on the line with me, I have Dr. Pat Castle. And Dr. Pat, I have some friends that have moved from California over to Northwest Arkansas. So back home where we have our farm. They're like neighbors now, and we've connected, and they're called the Audio Girl Ministries, and they've worked in California in the trenches with many of the pro-life organizations and 40 Days of Life, and I don't think you know them yet, and I can't wait to make that connection, but they've come up with an app called The Power of Seven. And it's an app you can download on Google Play or the App Store, friends, onto your phone. And it gives you how to talk to people about life. And it kind of coaches and role plays. And so that you, everyday people, we know how to have this discussion. And we can persuade the persuadables and help them understand how important it is, because we've been so taught by the media, and as we know, the last couple of years, how the media has played us, right? Telling us how to think and all of that. We've been told their body, their choice, right? But you as a scientist, and myself too, because I've sat under your training and leadership and worked side by side with you, you and I know, and it's biological fact, and we were there when we saw it put into law in the Eighth Circuit, right?
That's right.
So not only is it biology in the textbooks, not only is it written in the Bible, right? But it's also in our U.S. law that life at conception is a whole unique living, separated living human being within the womb of a woman. And how incredibly important that is. And when we hear in our circle of influence someone saying, well, my niece is going to go get an abortion, or my daughter-in-law, you know, she's in college, or these conversations that we have, we could say, ho, wait a minute, do you know, or do you have any relationship, or can you speak any truth to her, you know, and we'll be able to equip people, right? And that's kind of my heart, because if you and I saw someone running out in the middle of the road and a freight train was coming, or in the train track, or a big old truck was coming, we do everything we can to let them know, to warn them, to try to pull them out of the way, right? And that's my analogy. Talk to us a little bit of how important that is.
I'm going to give the rundown of the ologies, and then I'm going to focus a little bit on the biology, which you're egging me on a little bit. And of course, you know, I love that. I'm a chemist. I'm a scientist, and I taught biochemistry at the Air Force Academy. So, you know, how much time do people have? Do you want to take a whole semester? We don't have a whole semester. We just have the rest of this hour. But I will, you egged me on to give a few comments on the biology, and then that train coming, I'll make a comment on that. So first, the rundown of the ologies. So, you know, that's the study of. So whether we're talking about the study of politics, political science, guess what? The first duty of politics and government is to protect the people. I mean, put that in light of the issue of abortion. When we look at theology, what's God's perspective? We know Jeremiah 1:5 that God knew us even before we were in our mother's wombs. I mean, give me a break. Of course, God is for life. You know, John 10:10, he came to give us life and life abundantly. Let's go to the philosophy. What's the philosophy of life? Well, if you're studying philosophy, you know, one of the principles of philosophy is first do no harm. First do no harm. The Hippocrates oath. You know, first do no harm, with the beginning of medicine on the island of Kos, what is now Greece. I stood at the spot where the first medical clinic, where Hippocrates wrote that oath, first do no harm. There's the philosophy of life. And then, of course, biology. So biology, life begins at conception. There is no argument in science. So within the scientific community, and I'm a career scientist, there is no argument when life begins. Life begins at conception. It's a scientific fact. And so what's interesting is people that join the pro-life movement, they have this notion, this thinking that we need to convince people of when life begins. Like they think that, that we got to argue with them. What I found, Stacy, in the last, since really when ultrasound came around in the 80s, that now it's not the big thing. It's not the top of the list of people being ignorant of when life begins. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, women that had abortions, yes, they were still the lie of blob of tissue. That's not the issue today. And so if that's the case, who is a little bit susceptible to it? Students. I taught high school chemistry in Jefferson City, Missouri, and the biology department refused to teach the kids when life began. And I confronted the biology department. Why don't you teach when life begins? Their answer, because it's too controversial. It's too political. And my response back to a fellow scientist, there's no controversy. Life begins at conception, and you know it, and it's your job to teach it. But because it was, there was conflict, there was controversy, they got blowback from parents, they caved. So what did I do? I inherited those biology students in chemistry, and I picked up where biology didn't leave off. I picked up with biochemistry, where life begins. Mm. And what happened? I got blowback from parents. You need to get a handle on your pro-life chemistry teacher. You know, talking about sex education, talking about abortion. You see, what's so interesting is I never said the A word. I never said abortion in my classroom. But when you talk about when life begins, naturally those high school students are going, huh. So if life begins at conception, it's not right to abort a little baby, you know, that I thought was not alive or not a real person yet. So when I educate them, the parents would complain. Why? Because it removed their abortion card. What I realized is the parents wanted the philosophical pathway that if their little Johnny, little Susie got pregnant, that they could take them to an abortion facility with minimal resistance from little Johnny or little Susie for their own shame, the parent's shame, not to help the child. And isn't that interesting? So that's the one group of society that is still at risk. That's high school classrooms, college classrooms, either being deceived or not educated or twisted. So that's insightful for listeners.
Oh, it's incredible. And when we come back from this break, I want to talk about what we can do to be influence the culture for life. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every day. We'll be back. Radio KSLM, 8:35 on this fantastic Friday. I'm Stacey Ann, and we're here to bring you encouragement on your Friday. And certainly the last few weeks, I know a lot of us have been we're kind of recovering from the election and trying to figure out, okay, where do we go from here? And that's what I've been asking, actually, since the day after the election, Dr. Pat, we were like, where do we go from here? And I keep coming back to
forward,
always forward. And you taught me that. And the our reality is, we know we can take care of ourselves, just like in this battle with COVID. And you come on and talk to us about COVID. We can take care of our own health. We can take control of what we're putting in our body as far as food. We can get brush up on our biblical reading and our constitution and be armored with these things. But it goes beyond that to where we need to be ready when we engage the culture with truth. Yeah. And it's so important. Like today is the National March for Life. And because of all the activities that have happened over the last month, it's really shifted this huge event that got no media attention, right? There was no media.
Yeah. 600,000 ninjas
right
through D.C.
No one saw them on the life issue. And there are leadership. There's leadership and a lot of pro-life groups that are going to be there. But there's this virtual event, and I've got a link up on our Facebook page at KSLM Radio Facebook page, where you're at 9 o'clock our Pacific time, I believe noon. I believe that's the time frame anyway, that you can participate and watch. And maybe, you know, when the enemy intends something, you know, for evil, it can be shifted into good. More people will be exposed through this virtual link and opportunity to participate that way. It'll maybe garner some momentum for next year, you know, something like that. And you are headed towards an event this weekend in the good old state, our state, our home state of South Dakota, right? You are going to be there at the Capitol, and there's an event going on this weekend. And, you know, Kristi Noem, Governor Kristi Noem, out here in Oregon, she is a rock star to a lot of us conservatives here in Oregon. And you and I have spent personal time with her. She is the same person as we see online or on the media. And she has taken a bold step to say, we are going to defend the defense is not only unborn children, but those that have been diagnosed with Down syndrome. And she's taken a lot of heat about that. What do you know about that?
Well, start with the truth. So the truth is 67% of children diagnosed with Down syndrome in the United States are aborted. And that number, another crazy related stat, is 99% of children diagnosed with Down syndrome in Iceland are aborted, just as a little side of how bad they can get. And we all know people with Down syndrome, and they are wonderful people. These are people that don't have layers. I mean, these are the most down-to-earth, authentic, tell you what they're thinking and how they feel, and it's refreshing. You're like, huh, you have someone actually share with me how they're feeling or what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful human beings. They make us all better. And so Governor Kristi Noem, of course, is working to pass a bill in South Dakota where Down syndrome children will be protected. So if someone goes in to have an abortion in South Dakota at the one abortion facility in South Dakota across from Roosevelt High School in Sioux Falls, and their reason is because their child is diagnosed with Down syndrome, that won't be allowed in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, because of momentum, I watched the Law of Life Summit yesterday that you were a part of, which is really good. Again, another opportunity, turning something that's, you can't be in person, but you can, broader audience, right? A bigger reach. Excellent presentation, by the way, and you helped facilitate that. But the reality, when I heard Abby Johnson, who wrote a book, and then now it's a movie on plan, for her to say, you know, 11 years ago, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, has it been 11 years? Has it been 11 years? And all of the progress that is made. Now, I understand in Missouri, is it correct in Missouri, is there no abortion clinics in Missouri?
In effect, there are no abortions going on in Missouri, and there hasn't been any abortion for months. And how they know this is because in Missouri, they passed a law that when someone is aborted, they have to notify the state immediately. Mm-hmm. So there's a piece of paperwork. And Planned Parenthood has not submitted paperwork for any abortions in months. So then you go, well, what's going on? Are they just not doing their paperwork? You know, is it really there's no abortions? Well, I'll tell you what's going on is their one abortion facility, which is in St. Louis, is sending their abortions across the river to Fairview Heights, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the laws in Illinois are so liberal. You can abort children through all 40 weeks in Illinois now. And so in very little, you know, questions, very little paperwork, it's terrible to say, but Illinois has made it easy to kill their children.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, laws are supposed to be written to help people do the right thing, not to help people do the wrong thing. And so that's why, in effect, there are no abortions going on in Missouri.
Well, and I know here in Oregon, having the Oregon Right to Life chair, Lois Anderson, on about a week ago, she shared that abortions were taking place even before it was nationally legalized here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, and our listeners may or may not know this, but if a woman was in a car accident and she's pregnant and her little one her and her little one were killed in that.
Double homicide.
It's not recognized. It's just the mother because the child was not born.
I got you. In Oregon?
So there is no protection of the unborn in Oregon. We've got a lot of work to do. So I want to kind of move over to that. How do we engage our culture for life? And this cancel culture, even on Facebook, a lot of things, even our life posts are being minimized and all of that. We need to press in. We need to get trained. We need to know how to talk and be persuaded in a kind, honorable way to our elected leaders. And we need to look for ways that we can have legislation, because states like South Dakota, states like Missouri, states like Louisiana, because citizens, everyday common people like you and I, have engaged in the process, things are changing. And there is a momentum going on, despite the administration and despite the strike of the pen. Now we're funding abortions internationally and all of these protections, and they're coming after the Hyde Amendment and all of these things.
Thanks to the Trump administration, we have very good top coverage judicially right now at the circuit court level and, of course, the Supreme Court. And that's a big deal.
So when we talk strategy and talk even some of the stuff, some of the wisdom that came out of the Law of Life nuggets of wisdom yesterday, what did you gather from the meeting yesterday?
Yeah, so, you know, to kind of pick up where your comment in that last segment, Stacey, about jumping, you know, someone, a train was coming, and it would be natural for us to notify that person, hey, there's a train coming, or to help them out of the way. But the thing with culture, and this is really the heart of your question that you set up, is how do we reach the culture? How do we minister the culture? How do we change the culture? Is that we need to be able to speak their language. And you talked about your body posture and how we reach them. And, you know, you can't just shout at each other. And that's all good. It needs to be in their language where it makes sense to them. So I think a big part of that is that we're doing something. So, for example, today is the virtual March for Life, because the March for Life, the largest pro-life event in the world, was canceled because of political unrest and the pandemic. And these combined reasons, they canceled it. But you made a comment earlier that we pray that people, instead of traveling to D.C. to march in one big parade, they, in their own way, are inspired today to pray more, to fast more, to put on their Life Runner shirt so all the Life Runners in the world, and oh, by the way, running's optional. All you do is wear your witness, put on a shirt that says, remember the unborn. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have one and you want one, go to liferunners.org and get one. There's jackets and hoodies, and you know, Stacey, because I watched you wear them, and to walk out to the public and be a public witness to impact hearts and minds from saving lives. They read your shirt just like they read logos. And a shirt that says, remember the unborn, it matters. People are going to do exactly what your shirt says. They're going to remember the unborn, and they're going to ask you about it, and they're going to think about it, and they're going to text something to a friend. And we know that 78% of post-abortion ladies stated that if one person had encouraged them to choose life, they would not have aborted their child. So that means, what's the net effect to your, or the net answer to your question? To help end abortion, we need to be speaking up, reaching out, wearing our witness, having conversations. Vice being paralyzed, like you mentioned earlier, because people know, people that have had abortions, they think, ooh, I don't want to hurt their feelings or hurt them. But what really, it's the opposite. Those women and men also want people to speak up, to reach out, to help save them from their pain. As in communicating your hurt, it's healing. To have a conversation that it's no longer tucked away. A lot of post-abortion people, only a couple people even know about it. And when they start speaking about it, it's redemptive for them. And because then they can speak up like, hey, don't do that. I was sold a bill of goods. There was nothing solution about my abortion. It's been the biggest problem of my life. And when they become part of helping other people heal from and not have an abortion, guess what? They heal. They're redeemed. They move forward. So the answer to your question is, let's all do something.
Be a part.
Keep moving, keep speaking, keep wearing.
Be a part of the solution and be a part of the healing, because 62 million documented children lost since 1973. That's just what we know about, right? So
that's
you
right.
have moms and dads, and I call them the walking wounded. And I don't know if it's one in three over in a certain age now that have lost children to abortion. I know in our church pews, they say one in four, probably in your church, that has been affected by abortion. And so we have these walking wounded. And if I want to say right
one
now.
One in three is your answer.
One in three.
One in three American women in their childbearing ages have had an abortion.
Mm.
The walking wounded, they need our love and they need our conversation.
When we come back,
for them.
When we come back, Pat, I want to talk a little bit about that healing part. And then I got a question about some of this vaccination stuff going on around. And we're going to shift a little bit, okay? All right, you listen to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. SLM. I'm Stacey Ann with news that you can use on this Friday. I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. Get a hold of Bill for your insurance needs, 503-885-0789. And I also want to say this weekend, this coming weekend, is the Western Liberty Network training, advocacy training on how to engage our elected leaders no matter what level. Doesn't matter. It's a nonpartisan training. The actual face-to-face training is booked, sold out, but they are doing a Zoom training. And so we have a link on our website, and we have a link as well on our Facebook page where you can get signed up for that Zoom. And then on Sunday is our big freedom celebration, where we celebrate our liberty and freedom with you, our listeners. All our tickets, we have got all our tickets sold. And so if you didn't get in on that, maybe we'll do another one here in a few months. Looking forward to seeing you there. Those of you that did get tickets, 1 o'clock is when it kicks off, and with a band and food, and it's just going to be a wonderful time to celebrate our freedom. And then one other thing, the Chris Ann Hall, she is coming. She's a constitutional attorney. She is coming to town February 19th and 20th. Be sure to get your ticket ASAP, because I think they're going to book out too. You go to the river. NW.com and get your ticket. On the air with me today is my friend Dr. Pat Castle. And Pat, we've had a great discussion so far on how to engage the culture. And I just want to say this. As a mom, I have five kids. I have children I gave birth to. I have a stepdaughter I raised and a daughter that I foster adopted. And now I just found out a few weeks ago while I was in Mexico that my youngest son and his wife are having a baby boy.
Oh, congrats.
And so they're first, so it'll be my fifth grandchild, and it's exciting times, and it's something to celebrate. And I know so many women, and with my work that I've done, I've walked side by side with women and men who've lost children to abortion, and it's the most humbling and honoring thing to walk them through that healing process. And I just want
to... You walked one of my brothers through that, which I'm grateful.
Yes, and the interesting thing with that is, if we have a listener, I want to say this. Listener, if you have had an abortion loss, if you or someone close to you has, and you wanting to know, connect on how to get healing or want someone to walk through, I want to invite you to send me an email confidentially at Stacey@KSLM.news. And I think that's so important. And the part that we do, we can talk about, we got to make abortion unthinkable, right? And we got to do all of these things legally and culturally and all of that. But we cannot
need to heal.
We need to heal. Exactly. And
45% of abortions are repeat abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And healing prevents the next abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly right. So thank you for engaging me in this subject so well in conversation. And I want to look into having you come to Oregon and do a training, like a boot camp. And we'll look into those details as things start to open back up. And I'm speaking that prophetically and hopefully, you know, that this is going to happen here in Oregon. But I want to pivot a little bit because we've talked with you before and had as your scientific background, chemistry background about COVID-19 and the virus. Yeah. And now we have vaccinations. And this is linked to the abortion issue in that there's been a lot of rumor about these vaccinations and what's in them. And we know that there's been evidence in the past of different vaccinations of using aborted baby tissue as a part of that. Yes. Is that just rumor? How do we find out? What can people do to stay engaged in that?
In the know. So the fire hose on the vaccine is, first, folks can easily find that information with a Google search of COVID vaccine abortion tissue and stem cells, you know, the abortion cell lines. So what we know is some of the vaccines were created from abortion cell lines and some were tested on abortion cell lines, aborted baby cell lines. So what does that mean for us conservative pro-life people? Well, number one, it should cause us a pause that we would benefit from the most heinous, horrible, evil thing we can imagine, and that is a baby being slaughtered in the womb. And there's lots of reasons why that happens, but it doesn't change the answer to that is the greatest evil. It's the crown jewel of Satan. How can you make such a statement? Because the greatest gift from God is our very life. Therefore, the greatest evil would be stealing and snuffing that out. So it should cause us, as people of faith, as conservative people, to pause to think that aborted babies were, you know, taken advantage of for someone's benefit. And we shouldn't want to be part of that.
Right.
Now, what's the next step? Is there a benefit? So, you know, we get into the whole greater good and how many steps away from that evil are we, and are we complicit? And the next step is you don't take medicine you don't need.
Right.
Why? Because listen to all those commercials late at night. There's a whole list of bad things that happen for medicines because we're all unique. We all have different DNA. You want to think that, oh, medicine affects one person the same as the next? We're all extremely, and I took toxicology in grad school as a scientist. So you don't take medicine you don't need. So who needs it? A very small group of people you can even justify. And if you look at the stats, you see that the risk group is the elderly. And even then, the elderly, that group of people had pre-existing conditions. But still, okay, so COVID, like someone getting, an elderly person getting the flu, could push them past that threshold from life to death. So you know, maybe you could justify an elderly group. But guess what? Younger groups, especially people in their childbearing age, Stacey, there's lots of really scary risk factors on reproductivity. So you could end up not being able to be pregnant again because of the vaccine. And those are the high notes, morally and practically, on people's decision on taking the vaccine.
I appreciate your insight, and we could do a whole show on this. I know it, and maybe in a couple of weeks we need to revisit that. But I certainly appreciate your time with me this morning. In fact, I just got I just got an alert on my phone. The March for Life virtual event is going to start, so I just put the actual link on our Facebook page, so all of us can join in on that virtual march. And please, when you're in South Dakota this weekend, send my love. And have a wonderful time. And let's give the website where we can grow our Oregon Life Runner team, because I'm trying to grow.
Sign up, order a shirt that says "Remember the Unborn" and be a public witness. And for all those out there today, even though it's a virtual march, let us really put our pro-life faith in action by going out in public and speaking up, praying out, wearing our witness, and let's make it even bigger because it was canceled.
That's great. Thank you, Dr. Pat. Have a blessed day.
You got it, Stacey. God bless you, my friend. All
God
in Christ.
Bless you. For pro-life, absolutely. Have a great day. Thank you, friends, for tuning in today to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I want to say those of you that are going to the Freedom Celebration on Sunday, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Those of you attending the Western Liberty Leadership Conference this weekend, I look forward to seeing you as well. Be sure to tune in Monday morning at 8 a.m. as we'll continue to engage our culture with truth. Have a great day. I love this land.